It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, September 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services just gave out several monetary awards to hospitals across the country, including a few on the Western Slope. The Uncompahgre Medical Clinic in Norwood was one of those, and this is its executive director, Lainey Connolly.
So the federal government looks at health centers to provide care in a number of areas, include prenatal visits. Preventative care is critically important, so weight assessment and counseling for children, tobacco screening and cessation. So basically, when the federal government gives a health center funding, they are looking for us to provide care to patients to help keep them healthy over the long haul to prevent hospitalization that could have been avoided.
That preventative care focus earned the clinic over $17,000. Connolly says that'll go a long way for the Norwood facility.
The Denver clinics, you know, they have 40 plus clinics and a whole bunch of people that they're supporting in the urban areas. And of course, out in Norwood, where we have two people per square mile in our region is almost 3,000 square miles. The 17,000, that's a good chunk of change that'll go toward labor and education programs for patients.
The Olathe Community Clinic also received some money, as well as the Dolores County Health Association in Dove Creek. School children in Mesa County might be getting a ride to class in a new type of bus this year. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The company that provides busing for School District 51 now has 122 school buses that run on propane. It's the largest propane fleet in the western U.S. Shane Anderson is the operations manager for Student Transportation of America. He says that the buses are safer, and because they burn propane, not gasoline, they release fewer pollutants into the atmosphere.
And then, of course, the fuel piece, that was a big piece to District 51. Just off the top, we know that it'll save approximately $330,000 a year out of their budget for fuel costs to operate these vehicles. The nice thing overall, on the green side of things, very clean, very effective, very efficient, very cost effective. So the district's very happy with what we've done.
Anderson says it'll even change the bus ride experience for kids.
Imagine you walk into a library. And when you walk into a library, your mindset automatically, it's quiet. And so you tend to automatically lower your voice. And these buses, not being operated by diesel, you and I can talk, in a 12-inch voice, literally right in front of the school bus and hear each other and understand each other perfect. So on the student management side, when these children get on the bus, they're not yelling and screaming to be louder than the bus to be heard. They're actually talking at a 12-inch voice, and so it's a lot more safe to operate the vehicle from a bus driver standpoint.
The town of Glenwood Springs recently shifted their municipal fleet over to natural gas, and a public fueling station is opening up. Anderson expects more and more organizations to adopt these options.
I think it's going to continue to grow. I think the fuel efficiency that you get out of a propane or a natural gas system, the efficiency's there. The overall cost, the supply and demand, the nice thing with propane, it doesn't flux like we're seeing with unleaded gasoline engines out there. So I think it's going to continue to grow, and you're going to see a lot more fleet switch over. So the move is on.
He says they'll keep some diesel buses around for the long trips that would require refueling, something that right now is tricky with propane. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Another Republican says he's planning to challenge Democratic Senator Michael Bennett next year. Benta Berkland has more on the growing field.
Colorado Springs businessman Robert Blaha told the Denver Post that he plans to enter the race next month. State Party Chairman Steve House doesn't think the field will clear for one candidate like it did in the 2014 election when Republican Cory Gardner entered the race for U.S. Senate. Senator Bennett's seat is one of 10 that Democrats are defending in 2016. House says having multiple GOP contenders for the party's nomination could be helpful.
There's no reason why a good, healthy discussion or debate about who's the right person to represent Colorado won't benefit all of us.
El Paso County Commissioner Daryl Glenn and former Small Business Administration head Greg Lopez have already declared their candidacies. Another name that's being mulled is Arapahoe County District Attorney George Brockler, who prosecuted the Aurora Theater shooter James Holmes. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
This year, the Sherboneau Theater in Ridgeway turns 100 years old. The theater is known for the musical acts and guest lecturers it brings to the Western Slope. On Friday, there will be an anniversary celebration at the theater that includes vaudeville-style performances, silent films, and, of course, a birthday cake. Earlier this year, KVNF's Laura Pomisano stopped by the Sherbino to learn about its history and see what's ahead for the venue.
Welcome to the historic Sherbino Theater in Ridgeway.
That's Patrick O'Leary. He's the president of the Ridgeway Chautauqua Society, the community group that runs the Sherbino.
The building was built by Louis Sherbino, and he built the theater so that his son and daughter-in-law would have a place to play. His son was a violin player, a fiddle player.
O'Leary says when the venue was first built in 1915, people entered the theater by first walking through the Sherbino drugstore.
And you would enter into the drugstore, and you would buy your tickets, but you'd also be exposed to the candy and the soda fountain. And you would come in through a door over here into the middle of the theater and take your seat for the silent film.
Over the years, the building has changed hands and served many purposes. It was even a roller rink at one point.
And of course, it's always been the gathering place in town. I understand from the local papers at the time that 300 people came here to hear that the United States had just entered World War I.
In the winter of 2009, the Sherbino closed. After that, it reopened as a saloon, but closed again in 2011. In December of that year, community members banded together to take over managing the theater. That group later became the Chautauqua Society. O'Leary says the organization now owns the Sherbino.
And what's really, I think, very compelling about that, and what's different about it this time around in terms of bringing this theater back to life, is for the very first time, the historic building itself will be in the hands of a community-based nonprofit.
Ashley King is the executive director of the Sherbino. She says the theater's programming draws a wide crowd.
Music enthusiasts love the Sherbino because it's a place to listen to live music. Poetry enthusiasts love the Sherbino because it's a place to listen to and share poetry. Lecture enthusiasts love to come and learn more about the other people that live in this community or in this region.
Some well-known figures and musical acts have come to the theater, including singer Molly O'Brien, pianist Doris Merritt, and author Craig Childs. This year, the Sherbino turns 100, and over the next several years, the Chautauqua Society plans to repair and renovate parts of the theater. The group plans to double the size of the venue and add a second story. The project has an estimated price tag of more than $2 million. A capital campaign is in the works to raise the funds. And Patrick O'Leary, the organization's president, is hopeful about the Sherbino's future and says the most important thing is
to keep the lights on and the shows going.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.